Service in Des Moines has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Poweshiek County in central Iowa, southeastern Polk County in central Iowa, southern Marshall County in central Iowa, Marion County in south central Iowa, southern Tama County in central Iowa, northwestern Mahaska County in south central Iowa, Jasper County in central Iowa, northeastern Warren County in south central Iowa, until 7 p.m. At 6 p.m., a severe thunderstorm was located near Lambs Grove, or 6 miles northwest of Newton, moving southeast at 30 miles per hour. Expected hazards include 70 miles per hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. This is a radar-indicated threat. The following impacts are expected. Hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect considerable tree damage. Wind damage is also likely to mobile homes, roofs, and outbuildings. Locations impacted include Des Moines, Ankeny, Marshalltown, Newton, Altoona, Pella, Greenell, Pleasant Hill, Knoxville, Montezuma, Carlisle, Bonder Ant, Sylorville, Mitchellville, Colfax, Monroe, Pleasantville, Prairie City, Brooklyn, and Baxter. This includes the following highways: Interstate 35 between mile markers 87 and 90. Interstate 80 between mile markers 135 and 201. Interstate 235 between mile markers 11 and 14. Prepare immediately for large hail and damaging winds. People outside should move immediately to shelter inside a strong building. Stay away from windows. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning.
FHA, you name it. If I could get involved in it, I did. 4-H, church, youth group stuff. So it makes sense that throughout the rest of my adulthood, I have wanted to do the same. So it kind of helped get me to where I'm at.
And you're a farm girl as well, so talk about that growing up.
I am. Yes, a lot of people have made fun of me over the years for raking hay in the summers and helping out where I could. You know, being the only girl between two boys, I didn't have to do a lot on the farm, but if it was needed, I got pulled out there every once in a while.
And that's not all bad because of that work ethic, you know, a farmer kid knows how to do the job, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and step into college. Talk about your college experience there.
Yeah, I went on to Indian Hills Community College and got an associate's degree in computer systems networking. I actually joked a little before we got on the air here that Joe Millage was one of my instructors at Indian Hills back then. So that was kind of another way to bring life back around. So yeah, excited with that. And then that took me to my first job. My husband and I moved to Illinois right after college. And was there for 16 years and so had various jobs. My first one was in broadcast faxing. So that really utilized my degree. And then I went and worked for a company that had the patent for to accept and give change back at the gas pump. So I got to do some traveling through that job and just different technology that way before Mark's job brought us back to Iowa with our kids and able to come back here in 2011. So that was exciting for us.
Talk about that first job, that broadcast job that you had. What duties, what was all involved with that?
So that was kind of before, email wasn't used a ton. So it was still when faxing was used a lot as a communication tool for businesses. And so they had the software and the capability of sending to multiple numbers at the same time. So you could have one document, but kind of broadcast it across to various businesses. One of our biggest customers was Disney. And so we always had a late, they would report things late at night and it needed to go out right away. And so that was part of my duties to help get that information out. And so it was just a fast way to get information across to multiple places or across the world as quickly as we can, you know, before we could use the technology that we have today.
16 years over in Illinois, you probably saw some good things and some bad things over there, but we were glad that you were able to come back. And what was your first job when you did come back into the area then?
So I was able to keep my job from Illinois and work remotely for a few years. And then I took the opportunity that the branch manager position opened up at Community First Credit Union. And so worked out there for a while. And while I was there, I became active on the Albia Chamber of Commerce board. board of directors. And during my time there is when the director position became open. And I thought it was interesting, again, full circle, you know, whether it was as a kid in Albia or in Illinois when we were there, I got involved over there as well in volunteering. And I kind of looked like this was a way that I could give back to my community. I could almost kind of get paid for volunteering. You know, it was all things that I enjoyed doing and helping my community. So I applied for that position and it worked great with three kids that are also very active. It gave me some flexibility to get to be a part of what they were doing as well and get to do something that I really enjoy doing.
The chamber is involved in so many things. Where do you get your organization skills from? Because of the fact that you've got to sometimes be a negotiator, sometimes you've got to be a provider of ideas. Talk about that.
I think I learned back in high school of how to organize, or then I joke as a mom, if you're not two steps ahead, you're probably behind with some kids. So especially having twins. So a little bit of that has come into play, but I do. I like organizing those things. Glorified party planner. You know, I like those tasks, and even the things that we keep learning is building work plans and getting to work with local businesses and other volunteers. It's just, I enjoy doing it. I like talking to people. I enjoy getting to meet new people. I'm not afraid to strike up a conversation and find out what people know or where they've come from or what they would like to be a part of. So it's been a great fit for me.
Would you venture to say that you're part of the movers and shakers of Albia then?
Oh, I think I'm maybe the behind the scenes of, again, I've gotten to know all of them. So there's a lot of great entrepreneurs in our community. We had so many great leaders before me that have really made things happen in our community. And that's just what we want to do. We want to make those people proud that all that they've worked for and accomplished, we just want to keep that legacy going.
You know, you talked about graduating in 1994 from Albia here. You've probably heard stories about the farm crisis and what transpired during that time. An economic downturn for sure, as there was bank closures throughout southern Iowa. Did any of that play into your head as you got into this position with the Albia Chamber Main Street to say, you know, at one time this town was on the struggle bus, but now it's up and running and looking great? Talk about that.
It is, because even then, you know, we go back to also, we kind of had our eggs in one basket of, you know, one major manufacturer. So I think Albia has really come a long ways of, we have a lot of great small businesses. We have multiple manufacturing opportunities. You know, the growth that's happened in the Cargill area, Ginomoto, all there right on the edge of the county line. So that's all, you know, played a part in what Albia has going on. And we've also worked that, when you talk about shopping local, you talk about any local business. It doesn't have to just necessarily be in Albia. You want to support other local businesses. And as we can work together in southern Iowa and promote each other, it's been a benefit for all of us.
What comes in line when I think of that is the junk journey that expands all through southern Iowa. It encompasses all so many things. And I'm sure you've taken part of that, right?
I have, of course. And, you know, we encourage even going to other events. You know, all of these small communities work so hard together to put on some great events and really want to showcase what we have to offer around here. You know, we have a lake. Lake Rathbun is a great resource. And so those communities all surrounding the lake, if we can all work together and encourage those travelers, you know, all those campers that when they're wanting to get out and about, they can visit a variety of small towns around the lake.
Talk about the board, the chamber board, the Main Street board. You've got a cornucopia of people involved with that. Do you invite them in? Do they say, I want to be a part of it? How does that work?
A little bit of both. We do try to find representation from the various, you know, whether it's an industry, small business, bankers, realtors, just even people within the community that want to see improvement, want to keep things going, and just want to give back to our community. We look at all of those things and look at various age groups, different demographics, because we want to have a great representation of our entire community. And I think we've done that. Everybody wears multiple hats in a small town. So a lot of times our board members are also on other committees or organizations. And so it really helps us when we're creating those plans of what we want to do and how we keep things going. We've got a great representation.
I really think it's cool that you come up with fancy names. Lunch on the Lawn, First Friday, Where do you come up with those ideas, or is that part of that board action?
I think it's a little bit of both. Sometimes you, I don't know if I should even admit this, but sometimes you just have to kind of Google things and see what's out there. You know, you don't necessarily have to recreate the wheel all the time. Lunch on the Lawn kind of developed from, we had Mobile Mondays for a while. We've done some lunch in the courtyards and just decided that let's combine both of those and have all of those events on Mondays. And so we said, you know, let's encourage people to eat lunch on the lawn. And so no matter whether it's from a food truck or from a business that has sponsored a caterer, we encourage you to come sit on the lawn or enjoy from Princeton Alley and grab food in the downtown district.
I must say, I am definitely a fan of Lunch on the Lawn. It is really phenomenal to see those food trucks come in and how quick that they are able to process an order and get it out to the customers. You don't have to go very far. You walk right up to it, and then, boom, it's in your hand, and away you go. So
yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, thank you. We like to keep people in the district, and so hopefully, you know, I mean, it's lucky for you just to walk right outside across the street, but, you know, other people that if they come downtown, maybe they can also do some shopping or run some errands while they're here grabbing some lunch.
Now, the state of Iowa has been a big helper with it. The Iowa Department of Economic Development has a division called Main Street. Mm-hmm. Talk about what they provide for the local people.
Yeah, we are excited to be a part of the Main Street Iowa network, and then even further beyond that is the Main Street America. It is a nationally recognized organization, and they just help guide us in that strategic planning and getting the feedback from the community and really making our community unique from any other community in Iowa. I mean, there's going to be a lot of similarities when you talk about small town Iowa, but Albia has something unique to provide, and Main Street Iowa helps us look at that or helps us gather the information in the right way. So again, we're representing the entire community.
All right. So one of the biggest things that you might be coming in front of is getting projects done. What's the biggest obstacle that sometimes pops up and you say, oh my, we got to deal with that again? Or what might be a roadblock that sometimes causes problems with getting businesses to come into the area?
You know, I do think that they're, you know, we're just gathering some of that information. We've been doing building inventories, business inventories, and just really kind of getting our ducks in a row. So as a new business or as a young doctor or dentist or, you know, whatever service that we may need within our community, as they're looking for a place to go, that we have all the information. They want to know how much average rent is, or is there any spaces available that would be ideal to them? Do we have a contractor around that would make a space exactly the way they want it to be? And so we're still early enough in our Main Street experience to be gathering that information so we can share that with those people. We just started a process of trying to recruit for some of those services. And like I said, we're getting that together so we can hopefully add some more retail. I know this, there's been a little bit of turnover this last year, but we're starting to come out of that a little bit as we know that there are businesses moving into some of those empty spaces. And hopefully we can see that transition before the fourth quarter of this year.
I like the fact that so many of these antique slash older buildings have the ability to have apartments up above. And lo and behold, those apartments are something that are sought after mainly because of the fact that housing is so difficult to come by in small towns like Albia. It gives you a good feeling that those business owners are taking it upon themselves to create space for living, right?
Yes, yeah, because housing is a huge need, and there's just a benefit. There's some great things of, one, that adds people to your downtown district. It utilizes space that's already available. You know, I mean, if there's nothing being done in the upper levels, you know, this is a great space for a business. And so whether it's a business or for housing, let's utilize the space that we have available to us. Also, through Main Street Iowa, we do have a grant that's available that people can apply for to help with projects like that for upper story housing. And there is, it's a great need. It's a need in here. And it's amazing that we do have, again, those entrepreneurs that are willing to take that step to do that. And again, you know, they kind of talk about when you have people around your downtown district, it's a little added security as well, that you've always got eyes seeing what's going on in the downtown.
And on the other side of the coin, as there always is, you've got to have a knot in your stomach when businesses do lock the door and walk away from that business because of the fact that I'm impressed with this downtown area. There is a tremendous amount of stores that are here, but lo and behold, every once in a while you'll get a store that will close, and that's got to put a little pressure on some folks. Talk about that.
It is, but you know, that's part of being in a small town is usually you get to know those business owners and you understand why they're making that decision. It's usually, you know, for a personal reason, they're still active within the community. It's good to know that a lot of those, they're not closing because they weren't supported or, you know, just they weren't making ends meet, but it may be for some other reasons. And so, again, it's great that they're still supportive and helping look for what could replace the business that they were operating. You know, how can the community still be thriving, even though maybe they couldn't personally do it in that way, they step in and help in a different way. So that's great to see the way people work together here in this community.
And when you do have a new business come to town, open its doors, such as the old chapel.
The old rectory, bed and breakfast, yeah. Yeah, and you know, that's part of what we do as Chamber Main Street. We have an ambassadors group that we go in and offer to have a gathering. It's kind of open to the public. We welcome that new business. And just, you know, we want to share what their hours are, what they're offering. And like I said, it's just a way for people to step in because, I mean, if you live here, you may not need to utilize the local bed and breakfast, but you could tell your friends. So it's a great networking opportunity as well. And that's something that we do. And, you know, we definitely want to promote starting the new businesses. And so that's something we offer to each one that does open.
As an outsider coming into the Albia area, I was impressed with that tour of the old rectory because I thought, wow, this is really amazing. The historical part of it and what they turned it into and all of the architecture that's inside the wood paneling, the staircase, the stained glass there in the old rectory. And then, of course, the rooms. They individually are different in each one. And they just did a marvelous job opening that up. And it's great to see the people, the community, support that.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's something that I love and I think is unique about Albia is the Victorian architecture is not just on the outside. It's not just a facade. It is usually carried out through the inside of the buildings and, you know, places like the old rectory that you can see it throughout through the furniture or the ceiling. So anytime you stop in a business, you know, kind of take a look around, look at the windows, you know, like I said, whether it's the ceiling, paint colors, the design elements in our community are continued throughout.
Not that long ago, there was a survey that was put out. One survey went to the people of the town. The other one went to the business. A tremendous amount of information was gathered from that. Talk about that community survey that was put on.
Yeah, that's part of our, you know, we're working with Main Street Iowa and Main Street America about strategic planning. That was something I mentioned earlier in our conversation that they're really helping us set goals of where do we want Albia to head next and how can we make improvements. You know, what kind of business do you want to see? It's not just about filling a storefront with just anything. It's what does Albia need or want? What are they going to support? So that survey helped. You know, the number one restaurant request was a Chinese restaurant. Housing is definitely a concern. And just some events, you know, it was great feedback of there's a lot of young couples in our area. And so they're looking for family friendly events. So as we have these big community outings that we host, make sure that we have something for everyone in the family to do in those. And so it's just great feedback. And that, like I said, that helps us go into our strategic planning for the next 3 years. How can we make those improvements and really listen to the community? Because that's what we're here for, is to try to execute what it is that Albia and the businesses are looking for and how can we support them.
There's an old saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, and the same thing on this survey. You thought about the Chinese restaurant. It just doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to put the building blocks in place for it to come through, right?
It does, because as we're, you know, researching and talking to business owners, you know, they typically want a restaurant with living quarters up ahead, upstairs, like we've talked about previously. So to make all of that come in place and encourage those people to move to Albia, it does take a little time.
Got some big activities coming up, not in the too distant future. And, of course, I'm talking about RAGBRAI. The city of Albia is opening up its arms. Talk about the relationship between RAGBRAI and the Albia Chamber Main Street.
Yes, we have a committee through Albia Chamber Main Street. The city did approve to host RAGBRAI on July 25th. We're a lunch community. So we're going to have 20,000 plus bikers and support vehicle staff coming into Albia that day for lunch, and we're really excited. They'll be traveling south on Highway 5 from Knoxville that morning to stop by here, and I know they're looking forward to it. We kind of have like a military theme. We want to highlight Welcome Home Soldier. We think that's something that's unique to our community, that maybe a lot of these people in RAGBRAI that are coming from all over the world to see Albia. So we do want to open our arms, like you said, and show them our small town hospitality and welcome them for lunch and greet them, give them some shade, some water, some food, a little bit of entertainment in Albia style. And then I know they're going to be going on their way for the rest of the route to end in Ottumwa that night. But we're excited to host them because this is a way to, again, showcase our community to people that may not have stopped here any other time. So yeah, we're very excited for this opportunity. And I know everybody within the community are reaching out to see how they can help. We're, you know, still looking for volunteers. So if you want to get involved and you didn't realize that there was maybe an opportunity for you, please reach out to our office because we are still looking for volunteers and would be happy to find the best spot for you to help out that day.
Well, I'm glad I'm not in charge because I thought the riders would be coming all the way into 5 and underneath the railroad bridge there and come up by the North Casey's and whatnot. They'll actually be coming in sooner into the town. Talk about that entrance.
Yes, they're coming in on the truck route. Yeah, so we'll come in onto Clinton to get to the west side of the square. We not only do you talk about all the fun stuff and the theme and the colors and, you know, all the food and all of that, but there's also a lot of safety features that are that you take into consideration. And so law enforcement thought that would be the best way to get them into the square. And then we'll have them exit out on North 8th Street out to the complex and then get on 137 from there. Yeah, like I said, all of that's taken into consideration. And, you know, we want everybody to be safe and have a great day.
I didn't even think about the exit route, so kudos to you guys for coming up with that. That is just phenomenal. I'm talking with Laura Tino. She is the director of the Albia Chamber Main Street here in downtown Albia. I want to ask you a question about a little crystal ball action. Any projects that you can uncover or talk about here that's going to be transcribing in the Albia area that's coming up?
Well, like I said, we do have some things underway that we're trying to fill some of these storefronts. We still are working on the Challenge Grant project from 2023 that was awarded to the old Illingsworth building. So we're hoping to see some changes with all of those things here in the near future that people are going to be able to enjoy in the fourth quarter of this year.
Talk a little bit more about that challenge project. I'm unaware of what that entails.
So Main Street Iowa offers a challenge grant each year to only Main Street communities. So Albia has like a pre-application process that building
service in Des Moines has. The National Weather Service in Des Moines has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for northeastern Monroe County in south-central Iowa, southern Poweshiek County in central Iowa, northeastern Marion County in south-central Iowa, Wapello County in southeastern Iowa, Miaska County in south-central Iowa, southeastern Jasper County in central Iowa, until 7:30 p.m. At 6:24 p.m., severe thunderstorms were located along a line extending from near Brooklyn to 4 miles west of New Sharon to near Knoxville Municipal Airport, moving southeast at 65 miles per hour. Expected hazards include 70 miles per hour wind gusts and quarter-size hail. Severe weather has been reported by the public. The following impacts are expected. Hail damage to vehicles is expected. Expect considerable tree damage. Wind damage is also likely to mobile homes, roofs, and outbuildings. Locations impacted include Ottumwa, Oskaloosa, Pella, Knoxville, Montezuma, New Sharon, Eddyville, Ottumwa Industrial Airport, Knoxville Raceway, Lake Red Rock, Victor, Sully, Fremont, Agency, Lovilla, Beacon, University Park, Bossy, Linville, and Blakesburg. This includes Interstate 80 between mile markers 195 and 204. For your protection, move to an interior room on the lowest floor of a building. Repeating, a severe thunderstorm warning has been issued until 7:30 p.m. for the following counties in Iowa: Jasper, Mahaska, Marion, Monroe, Poweshiek, and Wapello.
Maybe we could make a little romance. No reason why you and me can't get it back together like it used to be. Give me just another try. Can't have you, I'm gonna die. Give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. Like a lifetime to me. Oh, darling, can't you see? Right now I know how wrong one man can be. Won't you give me just one more chance? Maybe we could make a little romance. No reason why you and me can't get it back together like it used to be. Give me just another try. Can't have you, I'm gonna die. Give me one more chance. Chance. Won't you give me just one more chance? Maybe we can make a little romance. No reason why you and me can't get it back together like it used to be. Give me just another try. I can't have you, I'm gonna die. Give me one more chance. Give me one more chance. Oh, give me one more chance. Give me one more chance.
Exile for you this afternoon. We consume, average person consumes about 30 pounds of this a year. Apples was guessed. Salad was guessed. Somebody said croutons. Said croutons. No. Great guesses. None of those are correct.
Thunder Country, KIIC. It is 6:30. Another live local weather update for you as tornado sirens are sounding all across southern Iowa here. We do have severe thunderstorm warnings now issued due to high wind probability of 70 miles an hour. I know listening to scanner traffic in Des Moines, they've got several power lines down. Over 10,000 people are without power as of this moment. In Des Moines, we do have a severe thunderstorm warning for up to over 75 mile an hour winds. As I use our Radar Omega app right now, some winds clocked just to the northeast of Pella at 80 miles an hour. Some winds just to the northwest of Oskaloosa, 58 miles an hour. Again, as these storms are starting to press through, just looking at some other wind gusts here. Winds to the west of Pella, 73 miles an hour. Let's go on up here to Deep River. I don't know that this can be accurate, but it's over 100 miles an hour wind gusts just to the west of Deep River. Let's move on over to Montezuma. Montezuma winds at 75 miles an hour. Searsboro, 69 miles an hour in Searsboro. So again, some very strong winds, some hail possible as well, but the damage threat is considered considerable. 1-inch hail possible from these storms. So I know folks that are outside, I talked to the folks at the Southern Iowa Fairgrounds a little bit ago. They had people off the fairgrounds an hour ago. So they're certainly mindful of the storms that are coming in, and anything that's loose outside, it's probably too late to get her buttoned down. So just make sure you're